Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio Network for LSU and South Carolina on the baseball diamond. We welcome in now Tim Rebo, Nicholls State head football coach, brought to you by Thibodeau Regional Medical Center. Coach, I know your season just ended, but still another fine one for the Cardinals this year.
Hey, Christian, how are we doing tonight, man?
Good.
Tough loss over the weekend. Good college football game. Now we got to start preparing for next year already.
Yeah, the spring. You guys are planning to play during the spring, right, the FCS?
What's that?
You guys are going to play in the spring, not in the spring, in the fall.
Yes, everything's going to go on as normal. I mean, it'll try to be a normal summer for us, working out in June and July and have camp in August. And playing a full schedule next fall.
Nice. That'll be welcome, I'm sure. I know you guys had some fun playing in the spring, and it was different, and it gave fans an opportunity to see you guys play in a different way, having football on in the spring. But I'm sure you guys welcome the return of fall football. Looking back on your season, you had some pretty nice moments, Coach. I mean, you beat Lincoln, Missouri, 87-3 earlier this year. You beat Lamar, 55-0. You're unfortunately on the opposite side of one against Sam Houston, but another outburst against Incarnate Word. So, man, the offense was pretty exciting for the Cardinals this year.
Yeah, when we look back in the season, like, for a chance to play seven games, we did a lot of good things. Sure, it didn't end up like we wanted to the last two games. We faltered down the stretch. But he gave us a lot of things that we got to work on, and I'm still really, really optimistic about moving forward. We got a lot of talent coming back, and I would tell you, Christian, we had a chance to develop a lot of guys this spring.
Yes, talk about that for the preparation of the fall, and who are some of the young guys that you feel like are ready to step up, and what kind of team are you carrying into the fall?
When we started this thing and, we had like 16 seniors and everybody, me and you talked about it earlier, that they get an extra year to play. And so everybody, wanted to come back. Now, since this is over, hey, Coach, I'm graduating. I'm ready to move on. But the core of our team all wants to come back. They all want to play. We have a nucleus at offensive line coming back. Lindsey Scott's coming back at quarterback. All of our receivers are coming back. And the thing that I'm excited about on that defensive side of the ball, we got to play a bunch of freshmen who got a lot of valuable experience.
What about the leadership from the spring to the fall? You're going to have a large portion of your leaders coming back, returning?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. We had some guys who had to jump into a leadership role. That had never been there before. You have that every year when you lose when you lose Chase Forcade and when you lose Sully Lesh, you got to have some guys that got to step up and do that. And I thought they learned a lot this spring. But, one of the things that we talked about, us being inconsistent, I think that was probably the theme for us. We had some really, really great outbursts, and then we come back and have some not so good. So that's one of the things that I got to get these leadership guys to really, really hone in on. It's about being consistent.
Coach Tim Rebo, Nicholls State head football coach here on Sports Talk, brought to you by Thibodeau Regional Medical Center. And, Coach, looks like y'all should have be allowed to have more fans this fall. So me and Bobby are going to get down there and catch a game. That's for sure. We're looking forward to that. And we're looking forward to the spring. Do you have your fall schedule out yet? Or are you still working through that?
Still working through a couple things on it. Our preseason schedule, I think, is pretty much set. Where we'll play Memphis, we'll play UL Raging Cajuns, and we'll play North Alabama in a non-conference schedule. And then the conference schedule is not out set in the rotation that'll be. But listen, you and Bobby got to come down. I told you, and come to the Book Vault Athletic Complex that'll be completed in about 2 months. You'll get to see it this summer when you come down for the camps and stuff, and then y'all can come hang out at a game with us next year.
Yeah, I know you were really excited about that the last time we were at the Manning Passion Academy. I think y'all had just broke ground or were about to break ground, and you got it up and running. Yeah, it's going to be I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. The looks of it looks amazing. Coach Rebo, so headed into the fall, this past fall you guys were scheduled to play LSU. That had to change because of the pandemic. Is there an idea when you might be back on LSU's schedule?
You know, Jonathan Terrell, athletic director, has been in contact with LSU and trying to schedule a game in the future. The problem is, Christian, is their schedules, you schedule so far in advance, mm-hmm. From 3, 4, 5 years, and their schedule had been set. But we're in the works right now. We're trying to see if something maybe gets swapped around and we can get back on that schedule. Maybe as early as 24 or 23, possibly we can get back on the schedule.
You've coached a long time, and, every season ends. Sometimes it's with great excitement, and you're the last team standing, and other times you're not. But every time that the season ends and you're not, how difficult is it? Does it get any easier to process through your years, or is it still the same kind of heartache?
No, it never gets any easier, I tell you. You want it to go on forever. You want to be that last team that is standing when that whistle blows. And we got some things. Listen, well, we try to prepare our guys that, hey, nothing is guaranteed to you. When you get into this playoff mode, like we have been in the last, 3 years going to the playoffs, and even this year was a playoff mode. We win the last game, we're going to get in the playoffs this year. You try to prepare your guys that it's not guaranteed. You better be ready for when that time might be coming and you're not playing anymore.
Can you talk about your freshman class you got coming in, and even JUCOs, and you got anybody transferring out of the JUCO to come to you?
A small class this year. I think that, it was a crazy year with the recruiting process, not able to go out on the road, not at all. We got some receivers coming in, and we got some young men in the secondary that I think could come in and help us. Tyler Martin out of Destrehan. We got Jalen Spears, a running back out of Brother Martin. We got some guys that I think can come in and have an impact with this group, I would say, fairly early next year.
Coach Tim Rebo, Nicholls State head football coach here on Sports Talk, brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Medical Center. And, Coach, thanks so much for the time. And, look, we'll talk to you again throughout the off season and leading into the fall.
Hey, Christian, I appreciate you, man. And tell Mark, man, I'm sorry I let us down, but we'll get this thing right.
I know you will. I'm sure Mark has 1,000% faith that that's going to happen.
All right, thank you.
All right, you bet. All right, we'll step away and come back. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Right to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text lines, we find James in Jefferson. What's up, James? James just hung up, just as he's about to be put on the air. LSU baseball tonight against South Carolina. Coach Paul Maneri breaks down the Gamecocks and what it'll take in this series.
I sound like a broken record, I'm sure, when I say this, but boy, they got some real power arms. Look at the numbers. Well, you look at the video and you can see why they have the numbers that they have. They got some guys that really throw the ball hard. Their number one starter, Farr, and their number two starter, remind me his name. I'm sorry, Jordan. Both have 60 plus strikeouts in, I think, 40 innings pitched. Mid 90s guys. Their closer, I think it's Carey, isn't it? Bill. Averages almost two strikeouts an inning. They got two guys out of the bullpen, Bosnick and Peters. I've watched them pitch. They both throw exceptionally hard, mid-90s guys. And they just got power arm after power arm after power arm, a lot like Vanderbilt's pitching staff. They also offensively have a lot of power. Their leadoff hitter is not a typical leadoff hitter. He's a three-hole hitter. He reminds you a lot of Dylan Cruz. You know, he's a guy that can leave the ballpark at any time. He's been real hot too, especially in SEC play. Their lineup really is built around power. You know, they play in a ballpark that's conducive to hitting home runs. Their new ballpark that they, I say their new ballpark, it's the same age as ours. They built their park the same year that we built ours in 2009. But it's a home run hitter's haven. And so they built their team, obviously, to hit at home runs. They don't steal a lot of bases. It's built around power arms and power bats. And, you know, so that's what we're in store for. You know, a team that can try to outslug you and try to strike a lot of your batters out. So we have to be prepared for that challenge. And, you know, they've been playing good baseball. I think Mark Kingston is an outstanding coach. No question about that. So it's, you know, hopefully the weather is going to cooperate. We're going to be able to get these games in, and, you know, it should be a great series.
Sounds like a matchup that's not tailored for LSU. If they can hit the ball out of the ballpark, like Paul Maneri talked about, and also power arms looking to strike everybody out, man, that is, that doesn't seem like a good recipe for the LSU Tigers. James is back in Jefferson. Go ahead, James. You're on WWL.
Hey, Christian, full disclosure, I think I'm pretty good at this, man. So, listen, I'm with you. I kind of think that we should drive back with the exception. I mean, maybe get another second rounder or a third rounder or something, you know, if a guy wants to move up, a team wants to move up. But there's a couple of guys that I think that are that I wanted at 28, one of which is a guy by the name of Jalen Phillips. He's a defensive end out of Miami. He's probably the best, first and second best pass rusher. He'll be the replacement for Trey. He's a better run defender than Trey is at this particular moment, and he's got the bend to rush the pass. So his only problem has been concussions, which is a big problem. I know a lot of guys are talking about getting Caleb Farley, but I'm going to scratch Farley because he goes all the way down to 28. If he was really the best cornerback, then something must really be wrong with his back. I'm going to give you a few guys that I really like that nobody's talked about yet. A guy that used to play for LSU. He's playing for the Wildcats of Kentucky now. Kelvin Joseph from Baton Rouge. I like him. I like this cornerback safety, 6'3", 200 pounds from Syracuse. He's got an African name. I forget the last name, but his buddy used to play in the league. He would be a good replacement for Malcolm Jenkins because he's, what, 35 now? So he actually can play corner and safety, and a nickel even come down at linebacker. And there's a couple other guys. You mentioned running backs. I kind of disagree with Deuce. I like a kid from North Carolina. I don't think Najee Harris is going to be there in the second round, but I can see us picking up a running back and maybe the third round, like we did with Kamara. We got too many needs right now. You mentioned the guy McCleskey or whatever that played with the Falcons in the practice squad or whatever. Well, this kid runs a 4.28. He'd be the fastest guy on the team. That just goes to show you what kind of transition we're going to be moving to if unfortunately, Wilson will be the starting quarterback. I don't really think they're going to give my guy Taysom a good shot to win it because if they won.
James. Hold on. Yeah. Let me go back to what you just said and bear with me here.
Okay.
The Saints are on record as saying they're not handing the job to Taysom, nor are they handing the job to Jameis. They're going to give equal. They're going to give them both an opportunity to establish themselves as the starting quarterback. That's the way it's going to go. Okay, and I take their word. Hold on, James. I take their word for it. Also, and James, don't get me wrong. I love when you call in. You're one of our more regular callers, and you're also you have takes. You have opinions, and we don't always agree with them, but you have them, and I love that. But the Saints have eight picks, and you rattled off about 12 guys. That you went on the draft.
I'm just these are guys that if we, I don't think we're going to get all of them, but here's some guys I think will be an asset to the team.
I got you.
And so far as Taysom, yeah, I think they'll give him a shot. But let's be honest. Taysom's the fastest tight end right now. He's the second most physical running back. He's the second best receiver on the team. So unless we fulfill those positions, he's going to be what he's always been. He's going to be the joker on the team. I mean, he's going to be moved around. So, you know, that's what I mean. I mean, yeah, they're going to give him a shot, but unless we replace his position power.
Did you say joke? He's going to play joker? Did you say he's going to play joker?
What I mean by joker, he's going to be moved around.
I know what you mean by joker, but Alvin Kamara is joker. They move Alvin Kamara into that joker kind of role like they did with Darren Sproles and Reggie Bush.
Yeah, but joker, you know, that's an ambiguous term when I say joker. You can still use him as a joker because he's not going to be the starting tight end. But if you need a guy to go downfield, look, Troutman was, what, a 4.8? No. It's going to be Taysom. Who's the second best receiver on the team? I mean, you know, I like Callaway, but I got more confidence in Taysom. Who's the most physical running back? Outside of the guy that we're trying to trade, it's Taysom. Who's the best special teams guy since we got rid of Hardy? I think it's Taysom. So, you know, I mean,
well,
yeah, he's going to have a shot,
here's
but unless
thing.
He can fill those positions.
You mentioned Hardy. JT Gray's still on the roster. He's the best. He's the best special team guy the Saints have. Not Justin Hardy. By the way, the Saints feel like they can get Justin Hardy at a cheaper price, a different version of him. In other words, Justin Hardy was undrafted, signed with Texas with the Texans, and then cut, and they added him. So those guys can be found. That they can be found. I know it seems like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they let Justin Hardy go. Well, of course they did. He's limited. He can't play defensive back for you. So what if you draft a guy? Hold on. What if you draft a guy in the sixth round, or undrafted guy that turns out, okay, he can play special teams, but he can also give you some snaps at cornerback. And I know Justin Hardy has an interception to his ledger as a cornerback for the Saints. I know that.
Yeah.
But Alex Smith threw that ball right to him, for one. And two, he can't. That was only because of injury that he was forced into the game at cornerback. And I'm not knocking Justin Hardy. Don't get me wrong. He was one of my favorite guys to talk to on the team. He was a great special teamer. But they can find another one just like him in the draft or as an undrafted free agent. They just can.
Yeah. Well, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I think, you know, if you want to compare him to Key Washington and the other kid, I forget his name, he played all right as a nickelback. From the practice, they picked up out of the practice squad. Haley, I think his name is. I think he's comparable to those guys. So I hope we do pick up Hardy. And I also hope we sign Eaton because we sign him because, you know, Ruiz, I don't want to see him at guard. He's got to play center this year.
You mean Easton? Easton, not Eaton, right?
Yeah, with him. Yeah, the guy Nick from Minnesota. The guy we picked up.
Right. Well, here's the thing with Nick, if I'm being honest with you, he's had a series now of concussions in one year, that I don't know if Nick Easton's going to play football again. To be honest with you.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I don't know that for certain, but I mean, I start to wonder when you get concussions in back-to-back games or multiple concussions in a season. And man, that tells me that they, you know, that player might not play football ever again. James, I got to run. Thanks for the time in, and of course, call us back whenever you want. Mike in Covington, go ahead, Mike. You're on WWL.
Hey, how you doing, Christian?
I'm good, thank you.
LSU baseball.
Uh-huh.
I just heard Palmieri's interview.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I think LSU's getting swept this weekend. I mean, listen to Palmieri. I heard no confidence at all in his voice. I mean, he sounded defeated already.
Yeah, Mike, I think you're drawing conclusions there in terms of his voice. I mean, that's conjecture at this point, based on the tone of his voice. That he's I don't think he ever loses confidence in his teams. Now, could they get swept? Yeah, very well, very easily against South Carolina. This is a very good South Carolina That's team. Yet another
team.
Titan that the Tigers have had to play in the SEC this year. I mean, the only, I guess, soft spot thus far on the schedule for LSU in the SEC this year has been Kentucky.
Right.
Now, they've had a brutal SEC schedule. I mean, go back to the first one of Mississippi State. Then you got Tennessee, who has since, you know, climbed up a little bit in the rankings, and then you had Vanderbilt. then you had Kentucky. Now you have South Carolina, Arkansas, and Ole Miss, and back to back or in three straight weekends. It's going to be a really, really rough series and a rough stretch. I think this is the toughest stretch of the schedule right now, beginning tonight. And that's saying a lot when you consider Tennessee, Mississippi State, and Vanderbilt. But I'm talking about up and down each team between South Carolina and Ole Miss and Arkansas they're better than the three series that they had to play to start the season in the conference between Mississippi State,
correct,
Tennessee, and Vandy.
Well, let me just throw this in there. Who doesn't have a tough schedule in the SEC anymore? I mean, just think about it. SEC baseball is far and beyond any other conference in the country. So if you can't hang with the top three or top five and you're getting swept by these people, you don't have a team this year. I mean, maybe next year, you know. But I don't see him even getting to the SEC tournament this year. I really don't. And I love LSU. I mean, my kids went there. We live and breathe LSU football and baseball. But I just don't hear any confidence. All Mineri talked about was the other team and how great they were. That's what really made me go, what? What are you talking about, man? Talk about your guys.
Well, he was asked about about South Carolina, Mike. I mean, he was responding to a question. Mike, I think you're reading way too much into a 2.5 minute soundbite that we played. It wasn't an entire interview. That was 2.5 minutes of him being asked about how good South Carolina is. I don't find anything wrong with it.
I guess we'll find out Saturday, huh?
Well, we'll start to find out tonight.
Yeah, well.
But listen, if they get swept, it won't be because of Paul Mineri's tone of his voice in a pregame interview.
I hope not.
Okay.
I just soundbite. I'm not feeling very good about tonight's game.
What? As a player? Black. Wait a minute, Mike. If you heard that, you would let that bother you? What do you want them to do in a press conference? You want them to have a fiery pregame talk with the media? I mean, show me a coach.
I just want him to say we're playing a very fine team and not start picking out individuals.
Why wouldn't
you?
I think it's
a million miles an hour.
Why shouldn't he? Mike, put Mike on hold real quick, Mark. Why shouldn't Paul Mineri be honest and truthful about South Carolina? That's respect for an opponent, Mike. That's respect. You can bring him back in.
All right.
I get the passion. I get
I'm
it.
Done.
All right. I understand it, Mike. I get it. Some frustration building up because LSU's not winning in the SEC, although they just won a series against Kentucky. But whether they win or lose this series or the next one after that, it won't be because of what Paul Mineri says in the media. Okay?
Well,
Mike, there's no hope not. It won't be unless he goes out and trashes them and says, I got a bunch of kids that can't play the game. That would be something that a player would not like to hear.
Well, I don't think he would say that. But, yeah, we won a series, but what happened to that last game? What happened to Sunday's game?
The bullpen fell apart.
We got crushed.
Right, but they won the series. They won the series. And they also crushed Kentucky in game one. Mike, please, listen, I have no problem with being honest with about a take, but to sit there and nitpick, I think you're nitpicking. You know, they won the series, and you're complaining about a Sunday loss. I think your only complaint about a Sunday loss is because LSU's gotten swept this year, and you want to see them pull off a sweep. It's hard. It's hard to do. Mike, I got to run. Thanks for the phone call. Corey on the North Shore. Go ahead, Corey. You're on WWL.
Hey, Christian. How's it going, my friend?
Good.
Just, you know, Mike sounds like a good guy, but
you know, just to comment on that in general, first of all, saying how your opponent is highly qualified or good or this or that, I mean, you got a bunch of studs on your team. You really think they're going to fall apart at the fact that your coach is, you know, saying your opponent are what they are? I mean, hopefully, if anything, your guys hear that and they get fired up.
If that hurts their feelings,
yeah,
Corey.
They're going to go cower into a corner, and they're going to be like, oh, my gosh, coach said that these guys are good. We're going to go and pretty much give up on this. I mean, hopefully, you know, they realize that they're LSU Tigers, and they got a little pride, a little intestinal fortitude, and they're going to get fired up. Now, you know, Coach Mineri's, you know, I like to call him the librarian because no matter what, he's, you know, he's talking like he's in a library. You know, he's not a rah-rah guy. He's very calculated, and I think that's a good thing for a baseball coach. But, you know, we got a bunch of Tigers, and they got a tough schedule. They got a bunch of tough opponents, and I think that they're going to rise to the occasion. They're going to, you know, make it to the World Series. Who knows? Baseball is a funny sport in general, but I don't think that the boys in purple and gold – are going to cower or, you know, turn to little sissies over their coach complimenting the other team. I think it's going to have the opposite effect. They're going to get fired up. My personal opinion. Thanks, Christian.
All right, Corey. Listen, if those players would get upset by Paul Mineri praising South Carolina, rightfully so, and that would bother them, then they're very, very, very fragile. And if they're that fragile, they don't need to play at LSU. I'm not saying they are, I'm basing that comment on what Mike was saying. All right, this is Sports Talk here on WWL. Right to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text lines. The texter here from the 504 says, what Mineri was saying about South Carolina was him setting himself up for an excuse and why he's about to get his butt whipped. Well, I disagree. I think he was honoring the opponent, which he always does, and I can, with 100% certainty, yes, 100% certainty, he would say that if LSU was 9-3 in the SEC. He's done it for every series this year, last year, the year before, and then since he arrived in Baton Rouge to coach the Tigers. It's the same carbon copy answers, and it's typical coach speak. You know, what's wrong with paying respect to your opponent? I mean, you know, I promise you, if LSU was 9-3, he would have had the same answer. Mark, play that bite where he talks about SC. Just maybe 30 seconds or 45 seconds. I promise you, if I went back 4 or 5 years ago and they were about to play a really good team, this is what it would sound like.
I sound like a broken record, I'm sure, when
See?
I say this.
There you go.
But boy, they got some real power arms. Look at the numbers. Well, you look at the video and you can see why they have the numbers that they have. They got some guys that really throw the ball hard.
It wouldn't matter. It would be the same words 5 years ago if they were 9-3 in the conference. Reading too much into it. Are really rooting for, really what this is they're rooting, there's growing numbers that are rooting for LSU to fail because they want Paul Mineri out of town. And it's, quite frankly, a little sad. All right, we'll step away and come back and wrap up Sports Talk next and hand it off to the LSU Sports Radio Network. This is WWL.
I do expect him to be in the lineup, and I think he'll be ready to go full speed, and hopefully that his leg will be fine and be able to play through the entire weekend. That's the plans and the hopes, yes.
Christian, that's Coach Paul Mineri talking about Giovanni DiGiacomo. How important is he to LSU's fortunes here this weekend?
Huge, because he can play. He can run down balls in center field. I think he's the best outfielder they have, aside from maybe Dylan Cruz, who's at a different level. But he gives them a speed element that they sorely miss in the outfield. And more importantly, he's an experienced player. I mean, he's like Cade Beloso. They've been around for a while, and have had their opportunity in games, and has played in meaningful opportunities and meaningful games. And he also gives you an opportunity to do some things with the lineup. I mean, he's your fastest player, I think, on the team. And he can hit leadoff for you, and it allows you to do some different things with Trey Morgan and Dylan Cruz, and et cetera. So another veteran bat added to the the lineup at a perfect time, I think, this late in the season. He had a hamstring injury earlier in the year and tried to push it and come back, and he came back a little too early and re-aggravated that injury. But I think Giovanni DiGiacomo, that's a fun name to say, by the way, if you're sitting at home. I think it's a big add to this team.
You heard Paul Maneri's assessment of South Carolina, and the one that lit up the text line somehow. But is there anything you heard him say that you disagree with, or do you think that's a pretty thorough, fair assessment of the game?
That's a very fair assessment. I mean, they've got power arms. They got a bunch of dudes. I said it before I even heard that bite. They got guys that are going to run it up in the mid-90s that are going to they're power pitchers. They're going to try to blow you away and then spot up their off-speed stuff and make you look silly, hurt your feelings a little bit. And then at the plate, you know, they're going to try to mash. They're trying to bang balls to the wall, hit the gaps, hit the ball over the fence. So, this is not a punch and Judy kind of lineup where they're just station to station, single, singles, a double, single, single, double. They're double, 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 home run. That's the kind of power they have. So, everything. I agree with Paul Maneri. This is going to be a tough matchup for LSU.
What do you expect to see out of LSU this week? Like, what would you – I'll work it this way. What would you consider a good weekend for LSU, like bare minimum?
Bare minimum, don't get swept. And this is bare minimum. And it's sad that we've reached this point where we're talking about at this level with LSU. Don't get swept. I think be competitive, even in games that if you lose the series, be competitive against South Carolina. Hit in the clutch. Continue to hit in the clutch better. And the bullpen has to show you something. They have to show you that they have an ability to hold the lead or keep it close late in the ballgame, like they were unable to do Sunday against Kentucky. They were in that game until the seventh inning, down by a run or two, and then the bullpen just absolutely vomited on their shoes. They just didn't get the job done.
We know this is a young team. What have you seen out of this team that you've liked as of late in terms of their improvement?
Well, you got to like their home run power, right? You got to like those numbers. I think that, by and large, two-thirds of the starting pitching rotation have been pretty solid this year. I talked about it before. Landon Marceau has had two tough luck outings where he didn't get run support, and he pitched well enough to win this year but was saddled with the loss. I don't like how they're kicking the ball around a little bit. They're making a little bit some errors that it just can't happen. As far as improvement, I mean, you got a guy out there in right field in Dylan Cruz that is going to be special. Next year and the year after, there's going to be some things that he does that are going to wow some college baseball fans and certainly some LSU fans. That's a building block, that's for sure. All right, that's a wrap. We're going to hand things off to the LSU Sports Radio Network. I want to thank Mark Menard at Master Control, Stephen Geller for helping us put together the program, and our executive producer and operations manager, Diane Newman. I'm Christian Garrick, Semper Fi. I'm out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!